How we doing, folks? Welcome. We got your back post-game edition on this Saturday Eve. Oilers drop one to the Vancouver Canucks. Some opportunity lost. A division title, kind of within sight. Could have got there. But man, just couldn't solve those Vancouver Canucks. The pesky Canucks who own the Oilers all season long. Jason Strudwick is standing by. Rob Brown will join us in a little bit. He's finishing up his day job. And then he'll hop in on his drive home. As always, I'm coming to you from our fabulous Long Shot studio out here in Sherwood Park. Amazing golf, a fantastic sports bar experience. Visit longshotswithaz.ca. Great golf sims, great food, great atmosphere. That is Long Shots. And as always, the pod, the show, the stream brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC. Do yourself a favor. If someone you know is even remotely interested in a new or pre-owned vehicle, go check them out. I can guarantee you'll receive a great deal and great customer service. They know how to take care of their clients over there at Sherwood Buick GMC. I bought there, right? Got the Sierra 1500 elevation. It's an awesome truck. The GMCs are beauties, man. So whatever you're looking for, go see Phil and the amazing crew just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. That is Sherwood Buick GMC, our proud title sponsors here on Got Your Back. Steve Taylor, manning the controls, and Strutty, ready to rock and roll as we wait for Rob Brown. Struds, how's your night, my friend? How's things in the Strudwick household?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. You know, the old 8 o'clock start on a Saturday night. Always here for that. I enjoy it. Weird game, though. Like, you know, it felt like a playoff game, but a rather not that exciting playoff game. and I don't want to seem dismissive of what was, you know, it was an important game, but it was pretty low event. And I've seen a lot more low event games that are a little more exciting than that. So kind of a weird one. Like I'm not going to lie. It wasn't a riveting game.
Found yourself like perusing your phone now and then during play, kind of didn't really capture your attention the same way. Just kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I generally like low scoring games. I think they're more, there's more drama because every shot, every opportunity, every good scoring chance is important. But tonight it didn't feel like that. Like it felt like a playoff game light. Like it wasn't quite the same. There was moments, you know, some hitting, the goalies played well, but I built it up in my head to be more than it was.
Yeah.
And without probably for sure each team's best player, maybe that lost some of the luster off it.
Yeah, I wonder how much they wanted it, how hard did they treat it like a playoff game, you know, in their own heads, did they really care that much? I don't know. I mean, we ask them over and over and over and over again. I don't know what the real answer is. Like, did they care that much? Enough to treat it like a playoff game and leave it all out there?
I don't know that either team was all in, you know, like I just have a feeling of watching it. They're like, hey, we know we're going to see you guys soon. Or hope we're going to see each other soon. You know, I'm guessing, cause what was it right now? It'd be Vancouver, Nashville, Oilers, LA is kind of how it looks like right now. So I'm like, they should get past that and we'll see you soon. Listen, I'm not saying it wasn't a well-played game. It wasn't what I expected. And I think that's, kind of disappointing.
All right, we'll get to breaking it down in just a minute. As I said before, Rob Brown is going to be joining us shortly. And yes, once again, by popular demand, our new best segment on the show, Brownie Points, will be back tonight. What did you think of the inaugural Brownie Points, Strudz? I didn't mind it.
Yeah, low expectations, wildly low expectations. And he exceeded even my wildest dreams. He nailed it.
He did, actually. He
was so good. And I love this, the magic 44 number. That sounds like that'll be a key one. If you are able to attain one of those, I think you have the juice.
Steve, I know that you listen on your off nights. What did you think of our first Brownie Points? You work on the pod here with us, but you're a fan of it too. What do you think, bud?
It was awesome. Brownie did great. It was funny. It was, I've been waiting for Brownie Points because I remember you brought up that idea of Brownie Points a little while ago. So, he did a great job. I'm looking forward to tonight.
The guy whose idea it actually was, I can't take credit, was the Quizmaster, Steve Dryden. Yeah, he's the first one who was like, you're getting Rob Brown on the show. You have to do brownie points. Mm-hmm. And it kind of took us this long to, we had to put a ton of thought into this amazingly dynamic idea we came up with, Strud. Sure. So, but that was Dryden. And so episode 2 of Brownie Points will rock and roll tonight, whenever Brownie gets in the car and gives us a call. Let's get to breaking the game down in more detail. Brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store, founded in 1939, just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. They have everything you need for all aspects of your wardrobe. Casual clothes, jeans, pants, shirts, sweaters, shoes. And on the formal side, just a real great selection of brand name suits. They can do customs for you. And high-quality shirts. This is a Mr. Dirk special I'm in tonight, Struds. This is another one of those ones. This shirt's like good 3-4 years old. Feels just like butter on my skin, and it looks brand new. It's popping on camera. Can you see?
Yeah, you look good. You always look very nice, very well-dressed.
There was a good chirp early on in the stream here on you, something about, let me see if I can find it. Struds, looks like your head stretched that collar a little bit. I guess the collar's looking a little loose around the neck, maybe. I don't know.
That's a workout shirt. You know, I usually slip into something comfortable on these Saturday night ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, he can kind of take that any direction he wants, I guess.
There we go. We established it not the most exciting situation. Strutty wasn't enamored with the overall quality of play. I don't know. Let's maybe get to breaking the goals down then a little bit here. What did you think of the let's go to the game winner maybe first and foremost. The question I would ask you is, when you're a defenseman and you got a forward charging at your net there, is it your job to pick up his stick when he's not there yet? He's still kind of in transit on his way. It's different if you're standing there right next to each other. It's obvious. But should he have had the stick there?
It'd be nice if you just tie up the stick a little bit. You know, right. I think that just, you know, and then that's kind of defending 101. Anytime anyone's getting close to the net, they're looking for a tip. They're looking for a redirection. So lifting the stick, tying it up. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Bouchard has his stick up and he's kind of in a cross-checking, trying to slow him down. And I get that. I get that idea. But is there a way you can maybe put your hand on his chest and I guess the other hand on his chest and then lift his stick or just disrupt his stick with one hand? Like it was such a tight game. You know, those are just how it was very close. I mean, there weren't a ton of grade A chances on either side. I think I'm guessing the Oilers would have had more than Vancouver, but just every little play counts, right? And so I would like to have seen him. Yes. To answer your question, I would have liked to have seen that played much different. Well, not much different, but slightly differently. By Evan Bouchard. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I watched it a couple of times. That's why I wanted the perspective of the defenseman because, you know, this idea of not letting guys take up space in front of the net, the boxing them out. I mean, sometimes you got to, you know, have your stick on a guy. Sometimes you got to lay the lumber into a guy to position him where you want him, right? So when you just go to play the stick, it's just different positionally, I think, for you. Maybe you lose a little bit of body advantage if you're focused on the stick. And I just wonder where that transition point is from, okay, I'm going to maintain proper body position on this guy in reference to my net and make sure, versus I'm going to reach around now, make sure I've got his stick in case he tips a puck.
Let's put it this way. It is unusual that there's that type of play, that redirection. Like Tyler Myers coming down. That's a great play by him. Let's give the guy credit. It's a great play. He creates a little bit of space, slides it through. And it is unusual that someone would kind of be shooting for a redirection off that spot to that guy and those two players. Like this isn't Daniel and Henrik Sedin. So it is unusual. But, you know, maybe could Bouchard have, you know, stood up a little bit more, kept him further away from the net. But I was trying to think how I would play that. I think I would try to get my hand on his chest and then get my stick on his stick. Like just so it's somewhat disrupted, I think how I would have done. But it happened so fast, so I'm not going to just hammer on Bouchard there. I think we have to look at it, recognize it's a good play by Myers,
sure,
and then a nice redirection there by a suitor.
What about the dagger there? Not a dagger because it wasn't that late in the game, but just tough when you give one up late in a period like that, you know. And they did. Was it just under 16 seconds left? What did you see on the 1-0 goal?
Yeah, it well, 3-on-2, right? And if I remember correctly, they don't get the puck deep going to into their zone. And I'm all about that managing the puck around the offensive blue line. It's just got to be done, especially you know the time left. You know they don't quite get it. They back off a little bit, and now they come up the other way. And now you're under the gun. Kind of a 3-on-2. I think it was Holloway that kind of got beat wide in on the blue line. I'd like to have seen him take a more aggressive way.
Yeah, that was his
that guy.
Yeah, the guy on his side definitely got the jump on him.
And so that's that's those defensive. It's the defense awareness and DNF defensive decisions that you have to make. And it doesn't, it seems like nothing. Maybe do you wonder if that's the right line to have out at the end of that last minute? I mean, it's the last minute of the first period. It's a 0-0 game. I think, but that's, it's a learning lesson we've talked about. Like it, and I've said it before, you never know which shift is going to be the big one or the difference maker. And unfortunately, it was, two kind of not massive opportunities that Vancouver created two goals in this game.
Did Nurse back in a little bit there?
Yeah, I mean it's a 3-on-2, right? So you do and credit the center drive. I don't know if it was I might have been JT Miller who drove the middle, and he pushes you off quite a bit. So you got to back up a little bit. But yeah, he could stay up a little bit. I think it was kind of the work up ice by the forwards, and then specifically Dylan Holloway on that zone entry that was missing.
All right, let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox. We're going to hear from Zach Hyman here in a second. Weiss Johnson's offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive. Make sure the air in your home is clean, right? If we have more forest fires this year, you want to feel comfortable somewhere. And outside, it can get a little bit uncomfortable, man, when we get hit hard and the winds blow everything in. So one of these Fantech HEPA filter systems will keep the inside of your house more comfortable. And it'll be very good for those with respiratory issues. So contact Weiss Johnson by visiting weiss-johnson.com today. Weiss Johnson, whoa. Zach Hyman post-game on, how much his team generated, how he felt about that.
I thought we created just as much as them, maybe more. I mean, I don't think there were that many grade A chances both ways. I think it was a pretty tight checking game. Similar to the playoffs. So margins are thin. They got, it was a nice tip goal. I thought Stu played great. I thought their goalie played great. So just a low event game.
Rob Brown checks in from his vehicle. Brownie Struds and I just kind of gave our headline thoughts tonight. What would you say your headline for tonight's game would be?
I would think missed opportunity by the Oilers on their power play and the Vancouver Canucks being a very good team when they score first. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that tonight. The Canucks, they got to play their style of game. They got the 2-0 lead and the Oilers were chasing. And I thought the Canucks played a very sound defensive game. I thought both teams were good, but the Canucks got the lead and allowed them to play the game they wanted to play.
Struts, how have you felt about the play of the D pairings? There was a comment earlier on the stream saying it'd be great if the top two D pairings could both play great on the same night. Like it's been a little bit of back and forth, right? A little bit of back and forth as to, and ideally you would want everybody to be dialed in at the same time. How are you feeling about the play of the D men?
I don't know. So we kind of just went over the goals. They're like the first goal, I do think that was more about the play up ice, and then the D-men kind of wear it. Second goal, it's a nice play by the Vancouver. I think unlikely by the two guys doing it. Maybe I think Bouchard get a stick on there, but it's not like that. Other teams are trying to score on them as well, and there's pressure on them. So there's going to be some breakdowns, but it's the unforced errors. And there's a couple times, like I think it was in the third period where Bouchard had the puck, and he just did like a half. It wasn't really a rim. It wasn't really a direct pass. It just kind of bounced off the wall, and a puck went right back at the Vancouver. Like unforced errors are the ones you like to get away from, and those really bad reads are the ones you kind of want to avoid. But other teams are getting breakdowns too, just like the Oilers again after that big Vancouver D, Brownie.
Yeah, I agree, and I heard you when I first came on. I was listening. Yeah, the goal that was scored by Lafferty, to me, that's on the forwards. That's on. I mean, the Canucks had the puck in their own zone and they turned it into a 3-on-2. They beat three Oilers. Both Holloway and McLeod got caught looking. So that one, to me, wasn't on Hurst. That was on the forwards. I thought Bouchard, the last two nights, I think he's been off. I think turning the puck over, not soft on players, but soft on, with the way he's moving the puck. Just no real assertiveness. And we know that he's got assertiveness in his game, the way he can pass the puck. The problem for a guy like Bouchard or any good player, when you've seen what you're capable of doing, when fans or media sees what you're capable of, if you're below it, you're like, okay, well, he can be better because we've seen that. I think what we've seen out of Bouchard the last couple of games, we know he can be better than that because he has been most of this season. So, yeah, I thought Bush had an off game tonight, but to me it was they're a week away from all of them having to be clicking at the same time, and I think that's what they're striving for, and hopefully they'll find it this week and Saturday or probably Sunday. They're all clicking the right direction.
Canucks brought some heat physically, right? I think they were close to 50 hits on the night. And I think the Oilers are maybe feeling a little bit of that pressure. Bouchard did engage physically. He's five hits tonight. I think that was second or third on the team. But I agree with you, Brownie. Just something is off in his puck moving. There's something that's a little bit soft or a little indecisiveness. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I thought Nurse struggled a little bit too, moving the puck at times. There was one shift where he missed two or three passes in a row and then iced the puck. It was just like some of his handles were a little rough around the edges for sure. I asked Chris Knobloch after the game if, it's all about trying to round their game into good, solid playoff form right now. And I asked him, is there anything in these losses that are kind of red flags for you, that you anything you're seeing you want to try and get out of your team's game? And he didn't really want to entertain the question. He just said, nothing I'm going to get into right now. We need to look at it. But I'll put it to you, Brownie. Is there anything you're seeing in the Oilers game right now that you think, okay, need to make sure that they flush that before this gets real?
Well, they need to flush these games without 97 in their lineup. I think they'd like to have that fixed. Some of the soft plays are their own zone. And not soft, they're physically soft, but they just be assertive. If you have no play, then off the glass and out. Or hard through the middle. But I think we saw a number of times today where they had no play and there was a little bit of panic. A little bit of panic. And you talked about Nurse, and we saw it with Bouchard, Darnay a couple times. There's just a little apprehension in their game. And we know come playoff time that the emotion and the intensity is ramped up and you'll have less time to make a play. Mm-hmm. So they got three games left here. Be assertive. Everything you do, be assertive. Even if it's the wrong thing, do it assertively so at least you're getting the puck out of the danger area before you turn the puck over and create an offensive chance for the opposition.
All right, Strudy, let's get to our UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Game. UCAN is an Edmonton charity relentless in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment back in the workforce. Visit UCAN.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. Got Your Back is a proud monthly donor to UCAN Youth Services. And if you can, we encourage you to do the same. Struds, who are you going to give the nod to tonight, buddy?
Going to Russia, Nikita Zadorov, six hits tonight. He was very noticeable. When I looked at it, I was thinking, man, this guy's going to play 22 minutes tonight. And I think he finished a round of 17. He was on it. He was finishing checks. He absolutely just blew up Sam Carrick. I don't think it was on purpose. But he was just everywhere, being physical and heavy and not fun. I think that was a really good night for him physically. So I'm going to go with Nikita Zadorov.
Yeah, Brownie, he's a mean piece of business. Hey, and like he can play you tough, play you hard, and then he can beat the snot out of you because he's pretty damn tough too. Not a fun guy to have to play against.
No, he isn't. The one thing the Vancouver Canucks never had in their defensive core the last couple of years was nastiness or meanness. And they went out and got Carson Soucy. They went and got Zadorov. What a hit that he threw on Hyman too. sent Hyman flying. That's exactly what you need come playoff time. We saw the Vegas Golden Knights. They have those giants in front of the net last year. They make you pay for everything. I agree with you 100%, Strides. I thought Zadorov was very, very effective in this hockey game. And the Oilers may see him for seven straight games in the second round of the playoffs. He will be a factor.
Yeah, big, strong player was a good add earlier in the season by the Vancouver Canucks. We have to talk about Evander Kane, but we're going to save it for our takeaway segment because I want to talk about Kane, the way he's been playing, what his role potentially could be moving forward. What could opening night playoff lines potentially look like based on some of what we are seeing here? Kane's performance here this last little bit, I think, changes the matrix as we go three podcasts in a row with that. So we can maybe dig in on that. Strudz, did you have something?
Yeah. Are we not going to debate 55 again? Because I just need to mentally prepare about that.
Well, maybe when we're talking about line combinations, we can get into it a little bit for sure.
So I'm guessing you've done some homework and you've got an idea of how you have four lines of work with him in on one of them.
That's the problem is I still can't figure it out. Like I start writing them down and I'm like, no. And then I start writing them down. I'm like, no. I see what you guys mean. I understand. I still like the player, but and it's not much of a debate. I mean, you pretty much just you curb stomped me on that one last podcast, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to recover tonight to make much of a case. I know when I can admit when I've taken a loss, guys. Okay, lots more ahead on the show. Takeaways when we come back. Oh, and brownie points, the second ever. So lots to stick around for.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Rodeo clowning felt like an exciting opportunity. Boy, was I ever wrong. The bulls. So predictable. But you know what's exciting and unpredictable? PlayAlberta.ca. I can bet on any sports game, play online casino games anytime, and buy lottery tickets anywhere.
PlayAlberta.ca. Go all in on excitement. Sign up today and get over $100 in welcome bonuses. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense.
All right, let's get to our takeaways brought to you by Redefined Health. If you're an athlete, you know how taxing sports can be on your body. At Redefined Health, they help athletes achieve better overall performance and prevent injuries. Adding professional treatment to your training can be the missing link to pushing yourself to the next level. Let the team at Redefined Health help you perform at your peak. Go see Dr. Tyler Fix. RedefinedHealth.com is the website. Strudz, describe Evander Kane's night in your eyes tonight.
I liked it. I think that, you know, he's going to the net. He's getting physical. And I think more importantly than anything, just like Leon, he's a way more effective player when he's skating, when he's moving his feet. I liked his game, guys. I think he's, you know, 24 goals on the year. Not too shabby. Brownie?
I would say, to describe it, I would say engaged. I thought he was engaged tonight. Both physically, he scored the goal late in the game when it was before the empty net goal. He had another deflection in front of the net. It deflected and went out of play, but he was there in the right spot again. The last couple games, he's been very good. I thought he was the Oilers' best player tonight in this hockey game, and they need that consistency out of him come playoff time, and he's ramping up at the right time.
Yeah, he really is. And we have been saying for months that as long as he's good in the playoffs, right, there's going to be some ups and downs and some frustrations and some bumps in the road here a little bit through the course of an 82-game season. But his game is rounding into form at the right time. Now, the other assertion that I have consistently made is that for the Oilers to get to where they want to go, Evander Kane, in my eyes, needs to be a top six player. He needs to be playing well enough that he gives Chris Knobloch no choice but to have him on one of the top two lines. And his game is starting to very much push in that direction. So I guess the question I'll put to you guys is, I mean, look, the Oilers are fully healthy here and the playoffs are starting tomorrow. Do you have Evander Kane in your top six? What do your top two lines look like if the playoff? Well, let's go three lines. If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, I would have Evander Kane in my top six, even though that's not where he's been playing. Struds, what about you?
Well, do you want me to reveal my lines? Or
yeah, do
you,
it, buddy.
Because
yeah,
you're playing the slow reveal with yours, so I'll get in there. So I'm actually taking a page out of our good friend Sheldon Keefe's book with this. Okay. And there's not a lot of time to turn this on, but I'm going to go like this. 93, 29, 18. And then we've got guys like Domi and Bertuzzi with Austin Matthews. So I'm going to go 91, 97, 37. And then I've got McLeod, Henrique, and Perry. And then the fourth line, I think
Who's in the middle on that McLeod line?
Well, it's funny. I have it scratched out twice.
Yeah, could be either way. Either way is fine.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to die on that. I'd probably start Henrique there because I think he's got more experience. But I'm not going to die.
And you said Perry on right.
I do have Perry there.
Yeah.
And then the fourth line is the mixture of those four guys. So I think I don't think that's a
28, 13.
Dylan Holloway, yeah. 39. Dylan Holloway would be.
So Holloway's on the outside looking in. Brownie, what would you do in particular with your top couple lines?
If Kane is playing well, and he has been of late, I do the exact same lines as Struds, except I flip 97 and 29. I'd have Connor playing with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. They've had so much success this year. They enjoy playing with each other. We've yet to see a team be able to slow them down. So that's what I would go with, the exact same lines, except those two flipped. And I would have Henrique would be the center on the third line. He's a much better at face-offs. So he'd be taking the face-offs, and I have more faith in him in the defensive zone. I think McLeod's played well, but I think the veteran player is a better defensive player right now. So Henrique would be the center, and McLeod would be the winger.
You know, the one thing we haven't seen that I'm kind of, I don't know, maybe a little bit curious about is we haven't seen Henrique and McDavid. So 91, 97, 19. I would have some interest in seeing that line before the end of the regular season. Haven't seen it yet. Then 93, 29, and 18 can stay together. And then you can go a couple of speedsters and then Corey Perry on the third line with Fogle, McLeod, and Perry. And then you've got your fourth line guys. And I'm going to put Dylan Holloway in the conversation to scrap it out with those guys. But that's just me and
my... Yeah, we've just seen Leon playing with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman the last two games with zero. They've got no goals.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah,
I mean, so why would we keep that line together? Hyman's got 54 goals on the season playing with Connor McDavid. Why are we splitting that line up? Yeah.
So maybe then it's you flip flop. Although Henrique on right isn't great, and that's part of the issue here is that Yeah, ideally, Henrique's either playing center or he's playing left wing. So I think that's part of what creates the issue is you've got Kane, who's a left winger. You got Nugent Hopkins, who's a left winger. You got, Fogle's the only one that really can move over. Hyman obviously can play other side as well. So it's a fair point by you. Do you think, Brownie, because Evander Kane is playing better, that suddenly it's going to work with Draisaitl? I guess would be my only question about your lines because – we've talked in the past about how that hasn't been a great fit, and that's how you have it starting. I'm trying to figure out a way to get Kane on McDavid's line.
McDavid's line was so good. I wouldn't mess with that. Best line in hockey. Okay. So I wouldn't mess with it. Now, is it going to work now with Leon? I don't know, but I do believe that Kane is now playing well enough that you can give him an opportunity. I didn't think he could before because I thought he struggled. But he's playing well now. He's got, I think, 5 points in his last three games, something along that line. So I think you can entertain that. And I like Fogle's speed with Leon. So that's why I would have Leon, Kane, Kane and Leon and Fogle. I'd have those three together, and you run them. And then now you have options. I think the one thing with the injury that we've seen with McDavid, they've thrown a lot of different things together here. And now the coaching staff, as Strud said the other night, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to remember it in case I need it. So there will be possibilities of things changing. But my lines would be the ones that I said, and that's what you start with. And then you just see how it goes and how it plays out.
It's a really good point you make. I do think, though, now that this is kind of settled, the Pacific Division, I think we're going to see some guys come out of the lineup and take some breaks. I really do feel that way. So I'm not sure how much we're going to gauge out of these next three games for the Oilers.
But I think they do need to take it serious enough to take a look at some things that they haven't really done a lot of yet, those Struds. Evander Kane is going to be in the top six, he hasn't really been there here for a while. So they are going to have to give it a look and see, don't you think?
Yeah, they can. But I think, like, if Leon's not playing, you can do whatever you want, yeah. You know, or if Nuge isn't playing, or if, like, it's, that's what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think we're going to see a full lineup. I think they might rotate through some rest.
Yeah. Sounds like Broberg might come up and.
Yeah, like, yeah, you talk well, and then who was it, Hyman, or which one? One of the guys talked about, like, you know, it's just, it hasn't been a very fair schedule, and they still have three games. There's teams with one game left, right? So yeah. I think for that reason, when you're not really playing for anything, it's a dangerous game to rest guys, but I do think you'll see weirder or unique, more unique line combinations.
Brownie, what about the idea that you can make the argument of Evander Kane's best play as an Edmonton Oiler was on McDavid's wing and it was in the playoffs?
That was a couple of years ago. Yeah. B, I think just about any player that has played for the Edmonton Oilers has had their best run with Connor McDavid because he's
that was
the best
different
in the world.
I mean, he was piling in the goals at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah, but that's, again, that was 2 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. Zach Cassian, everyone fell in love with him because he had one good playoff, one good series, and all of a sudden he got a new contract. Everyone loved him, but he never was that guy. Yeah. To me, Connor McDavid, the current line that Connor plays on, was the best line in hockey for this season. Hyman has 54 goals because he plays with Connor. Why would you want to mess with that to go back to something that you saw 2 years ago? I mean, Kane's got 5 points his last three games. He's not playing with Connor or Leon. So he is being effective without having to play with Connor McDavid. I say if you want to give him a chance in the top six, put him with Leon. That is a mean line because we know how mean Leon can play. Kane can play mean. And you got Fogel's speed who can get in on the forecheck and then go from there. But I am not messing with 97, 93, and Zach Hyman because that line has been too effective to start experimenting to see if you can rekindle Kane's brilliance from a couple of years ago.
Struddy, anything on that?
No, I think he's right. And it's going to be difficult. I do think it's going to be difficult to kind of figure this out.
Feels late in the season for this not to be sorted, hey?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. You're right about that. So, you know, is he going to, you know, would he entertain putting Henrik and Kane together on the third line and then someone else, McLeod over there?
Yeah.
But then what does the rest of it look like? If Kane comes out of there, someone's got to go up.
Well, Fogel can go back up.
Well, he's already up there, right? Because
you had him up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know who, I guess.
Oh, no, Struds. You would have Struds. I hear what you're saying. Then you go Fogel, Leon, and McLeod. Then you go Kane, yeah. Hendrick, and Perry, which we saw a little bit tonight in the third period. They put those three together.
Really, yeah. It only depends on who scores first or not, because, you know, if whoever they're playing has a 1-0 lead in the second period, 97 and 29 are just going to end up together, yeah. And it'll stay that way for the rest of the series. I mean, it's happened. It's happened basically every time they play LA. They start separate, end up together, and they just end up, you know, that's just ends up being the line.
Yeah,
You have that option.
You do. And I think it's going to be interesting. Maybe against LA, maybe they put them together. Maybe they load them up right from the start. We're just going to blow you guys right out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a possibility. And everybody else just has to hang on. I don't know.
Better options for a second line if you end up doing that. Okay, let's get to Brownie Points, everybody's favorite segment. It's brought to you by Hamel's Beef Jerky. Their world-famous jerky located right here in Alberta using prime Alberta beef. Their jerky is available in 14 tantalizing flavors, including the famous sweet and spicy. That's the jerky that went to the International Space Station. I still can't believe that. Family owned and operated since 1962. Great game day snack can be shipped to you anywhere in Alberta. Check out their April special. Three pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping. Once again, that's 3 pounds of jerky for $85 and free shipping. AlbertaJerky.com is the website. Brownie, you were late to the party tonight. So go easy with giving other people minuses tonight. I thought you were you're deducting me brownie points in the first episode. I'm still smarting over that. Just keep in mind, you showed up late to work tonight.
I apologize. Well, we'll start with the positive. We're going to give 7 brownie points to the Winnipeg Jets for the 7-0 beating of the Colorado Avalanche, who they will play in the first round. Wow. That is one way to set the tone for a playoff series. So 7 brownie points to the Jets. I'm taking away 97 brownie points from the Edmonton Oilers power play in the one goal game that we saw tonight. Power play goal could have been the difference. The Oilers power play struggled tonight. They had trouble getting the puck in the offensive zone. That's because they didn't have 97 carrying up. So minus 97 brownie points. I'm giving minus 93. I'm taking 93 brownie points away from the referee tonight for blowing the puck dead on the Nugent Hopkins gloved ahead pass.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, Nugent Hopkins gloved it. Yeah, he gloved it ahead to Leon. Leon does a great job. He stays around the puck. He doesn't touch it. The Canucks didn't want anything to do with it. And Zadorov fell asleep. He thought, okay, they're going to blow it down. He turns away. Nugent Hopkins sees this. He comes in, picks the puck up. And the ref blows it dead. There was a scoring opportunity lost because the referee lost sight of who gloved it. Smart play by RNH. Bad play by the ref. I'm giving 24 brownie points to Evander Kane for his 24th goal of the season. By far the best Oiler tonight. Mm-hmm. And the final one tonight. 100 brownie points for, I might screw this up, Asaki for having a concert on Saturday night and forcing the NHL to give the Oilers one extra day of rest and allowing them to start the series on Sunday. So I don't know who Asaki is, but you get 100 brownie points for having a concert.
Asaki?
Asaki. A-S-A-K-E. There, he is a Nigerian musician who's playing at Rogers on Saturday night. Thus, the Oilers cannot start their playoff series.
There was that down in the media room tonight, there was a fridge that had a bunch of milk in it. And it said, and now I'm realizing what this is. It said, do not touch for Asaki. And I didn't know what that was or what it meant. But there is a bunch of milk that is clearly earmarked for Asaki at the rink.
So you guys saying that Sunday night, then that's when the Oilers start a week from tomorrow?
Well, it can't be Saturday. It can't be Saturday. Yeah. So they said they wanted to start the playoffs on Saturday. So my guess, they would start it on Sunday. That's what some of the guys were talking about at the rink today. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be better for the Oilers if it was Monday, but I don't know. Did they have, they start it 3 days or 2 days after the playoffs start then?
Yeah. Well, just in some of our, I mean, we never know. We think we get a bit of an inside word, but we will have to wait and see. You take any issue with any of those awardings of brownie points there, Struds? That's seven for Winnipeg, 90, right. Minus 97 for the power play, 93 subtracted for the referee tonight, 24 for Evander Kane for all of his goals, and 100 for Asaki.
Yeah. No, I love the power play because I do think that the power play was in these tight games, you're looking for a power play to knock one in. I think you could have tilted, especially early with that early PP.
Yeah, for sure. That was Brownie Points brought to you by Hamel's Beef Jerky. Brownie, short shift for you tonight, bud. You get to go already. You're done.
Well, all right, guys. Enjoy Master Sunday. Chat later. Yeah.
Absolutely. Enjoy the day tomorrow, buddy, and we'll chat next week.
Bonne nuit.
All right, good night, guys.
All right. So when we come back, Struds and I are going to keep it rolling here. We will have take a lap. We'll look around the National Hockey League, so see what else went on, what Struddy wants to focus on. We'll have Struddy's World, and then Ask Us Anything, as well as our play of the day. Still lots to come.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. If you have not had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, oh, go grab a bottle today, won't you? Strutty recommends the mango. The Brindley family's been crafting Shipwreck in small batches for decades. Their spiced rum, aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwreck, hockey fans. Available at your local liquor retailer. But enjoy responsibly. Get Shipwrecked, have some fun, but as always, enjoy responsibly. Struds, what do we got tonight, buddy?
Last year in the playoffs, I thought the Vegas Golden Knights did a really good job with their huge defensemen just kind of protecting the middle of the ice and made it difficult for the Oilers to get there. So there were times where the Oilers had, you know, pretty excessive zone time, but where nothing really was really significantly produced from. It looks good and you're in the zone. It's just hard to get there. And they just call that five on that day, keep it pretty tight. And I thought tonight, I got to give credit to the Canucks. They have a similar type D. Not everyone's as big, but, you know, he mentioned Zadorov. You got Susie. You got Tyler Myers. You know, Quinn Hughes is the biggest guy, but quick. You know, these other guys can, Ian Cole, and not a big guy, but plays pretty, you know, plays bigger than he is. And I thought at times tonight, we saw the Oilers, you know, again, kind of staying on the outside and being almost content with holding that puck on the outside, unable to get it to the middle of to the ice. So, you know, I'm sure there's stats out there that may agree or disagree with what I'm saying, but there were opportunities where that happened. What I always felt when I was defending is I felt pretty comfortable when everyone was outside of me. So that means they're outside of my, you know, maybe in, you know, outside the dots or above the dots, kind of above the top of the circles. Like, you feel comfortable with that. What I didn't like was when guys would dive in and skate towards the front of the net. And now I had to react to it. And I had to figure out where the guy at the puck was going. And I think so when that happens, I think they have to find a way to attack more the middle of the ice. And sometimes it's just going to be, you know, quick up to the D, someone attack or multiple people attack in the middle of the ice. Like we saw in that goal from Kane and Brown, attack the middle of the ice. It's not pretty, but it's effective. Because like I say, you know, Shager holding that puck on the outside, I think it's somewhat misleading as to actually what you're getting done, rather than what, you know, if you attack that middle of the ice and get there, it more things can happen that way.
Yeah, 100%. It's like teams can make it look really good. I think the Canucks actually had a good example of that. They had like probably 90 seconds of sustained time. And I think they got one shot in that time in the offensive zone. So like, you can kind of disguise it. You can make it look good. But no, I agree with you. How about that one play where they made the play to Cody Ceci at the point? Steve, you can cut back to the two shot. Your little studies. So they made the playback. There he is. They made the playback to the point. Cody Ceci fires it on net. There was not an Oiler within 20 feet of the net. You remember that one? Like, just he drifted one in. And I feel like sometimes with the Oilers, like, Draisaitl likes to flare off to the side.
Right.
You know, Nugent Hopkins sometimes likes. Everybody feels like their spot is on the half wall. And I think sometimes even the skill guys, even Draisaitl, there was another opportunity tonight too where made a pass and drifted off to the side rather than going to the front of the net. So it's like, I think teams can do a good job on you, but I also think there's a conscious effort that maybe needs to be made a little more often by the Oilers.
Well, there's two sides to that battle. One is when you're repeatedly driving the middle of the ice and driving to my front of my net, it's tiring. It wears you down. And I'm not talking about game one, period two. I'm talking about game six, period three. You're like, these guys are still coming. But then the other side of that is when you have big, strong defensemen that are, you know, contesting that ice, that's also tiring. That is also frustrating.
Yeah.
So, you know, look at the Oilers are going to play. The Kings, they don't necessarily play that way. I don't see them as the same style of play as what the Canucks do. But round two is going to be against that type of D where they're just going to be, and it's with the Canucks, where for the most part, they want to keep you outside. So you got to kind of get that in your head. And again, you know, case in point, Vanner Kane's goal, exactly what I just talked about.
Yeah. Anderson, Doughty, Gavrikov, Matt Waugh, Andreas Englund, Jordan Spence, like not the towers that, you know, that Vegas brings, and certainly not, you know, similar size to what the Canucks had with some of their guys tonight.
Different. Like, Canucks are built closer to what Vegas are than what the Kings. The Kings, and they're trying to maybe frustrate, not maybe, they're trying to frustrate you up the ice. And then once you get in the zone, they're still trying to hold on, but they're not as big. So you can kind of have your way a little bit getting there with your bigger guys. So it's not as big a deal as what I think we saw or see tonight with the Canucks.
Taves Duquesne says, sometimes their net front presence is so good, but others, there's not a guy within 10 feet of a point shot. That was Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. Steve, I forget, buddy. Do we have another quick commercial break before we get to...
Nope, that's it for ads. So
that's it for ads? Okay, so time to take a lap then. Brought to you by our good friends over at Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Backscape 2.0. I've got one now. Put it together the other day. It's really cool the way it all slides together. Back, the original was good. This one, there's a more premium feel to it. The titanium shave head and everything, really high quality, engineered to allow you to effortlessly snap that shaver in and out to touch up other parts of your body as well. We got a promo code for you. GYB10 gives you 10% off advanced and deluxe 2.0 kits at backscape.com. That's backscape.com. Stay smooth. Gentlemen, some scores to keep an eye on tonight. Lots going on around the league. Struds, where are we going to take a lap, buddy?
Well, we've got to talk about Winnipeg. Winnipeg absolutely blasts the Avs 7-0 and goal scorers all over. Adam Lowry gets his 11th. He got Morrison scoring. I think Ehlers had one. Like, it was all over the place. Now, these two are going to meet up in the first round, and it felt like Winnipeg was dying off a little bit. Now they're kind of seem to be resurrecting themselves. They've ripped off a bunch of wins in a row here. Then you got Colorado. It looks like a little bit unstable right now. All those trades, Sean Walker this, Sean Walker that, Casey Middlestadle this, or Middlestat this, and they've kind of got wobbly. So this will be a must-watch first-round matchup, Winnipeg, Avs. But
what do you think of
the playoffs at one?
What do you think of a 7-0 result against the team that you're about to square off with? Like, if you're the Avalanche, do you just kind of go, late season, everyone's just trying to stay healthy, I just play 7-0, man, that's bad.
It is a beating. So is it better to say, well, we didn't have our things tonight, we just got spanked? Or is it better to have lost a close one? Or worse to get, I guess, worse or better, whatever you want to call it.
Well, that's embarrassing.
A close one.
Like, you've been embarrassed at 7-0. That's different than, we didn't bring our right stuff tonight.
No, for sure. And Mikko Rantanen's back and all this and that. So, it was, I couldn't believe, because tonight I think there was 13 games, and you're kind of going through the scores. You're like, what is going on? Like, that is thrashing. Like, Dallas winning, I think they beat Seattle 3-1. Like, that's like, okay, that's how the world's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But Winnipeg Avs, you're looking for a 3-2, maybe 4-2 empty netter win for either team A or B.
We'll do predictions at a different night, but just let me ask you right now, what's your gut on that series right now?
Oh, God.
Like the goaltending with Winnipeg, does that – I mean, Colorado's got that high-end talent in Makar, but defensively, like Gregor's been saying it to anyone who will listen these days, that, you know, Makar's defensive numbers are not that great. They're not the juggernaut that people think combined with that goaltending. Mm.
The goaltending makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
I have taken Winnipeg so many times and I've been I've been embarrassed. So I don't know if they can. I don't, you're putting me on the spot here.
That's okay. I just wanted your gut instinct. You know, it doesn't have to be, I won't hold you to it.
No, my gut would be Winnipeg, but I hate myself. Like that's like the bad relationship that I keep going back to. And it just, they've screwed me over so many times. I've called them. I think they'll win a Stanley Cup once or twice. And they've just disappointed me. So, but I think I would go Winnipeg, yes.
Leaky 37 says Jets had their share of being blown out the last 20 games. Fair enough.
They're on an uptick right now. They've won, I don't know, I think it's got to be four or five or in a row. You know, I'd have to go back and take a look.
Yeah, right. Hellebuck's a game changer. What else we got, buddy?
He's three-way tie in the playoff race for the final spot in the Eastern Conference. So we got Washington, Detroit, and Philadelphia. And it's tight. So they're all the same, 87 points. Washington plays Philly and Boston. Sorry, Boston, Philly. Then we've got Detroit plays the Canadiens twice, a team that can't wait for this year to end. And then you got Philadelphia obviously playing Washington once because they only have one game left. So this bad boy is going to come down right to the wire. But the Detroit gets a huge win tonight, and they're all tight. Now, Islanders,
a comeback win, too. That was a major.
The Islanders are 3 points clear of all those teams. So I think that they're probably okay. But I mean, you never know. No one else seems to be running away with that bad boy. So yeah, crazy night, man. Crazy night.
Did you see the Red Wings celebrate that win?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you lose that. It's hard, but now you got like, that's interesting. Like, could you imagine that last game Flyers Washington being something that has to decide? Cause you know, if Detroit loses both their game to Canadiens, which it's probably unlikely, but possible. It's great. I think it's great for the sport to have that many teams still in it.
You know what's kind of mind-numbing, though? Like, they're literally battling for their playoff lives. The difference is just huge to a season lost versus even getting a first-round series. So in their last 10 games, Washington 3-5-2. Detroit 3-4-3. Philadelphia 2-6-2. This is like the most epic turtle race to the playoffs. And then you got the Pittsburgh Penguins 7-1-2. Crosby just holding a city up on his shoulders. They're the ones that deserve to get there based on the way they're finishing here. Nobody else is finding any consistency.
No, and I should have included Pittsburgh, but I mean they have to leap three teams and they have one less point. So they're at 86, the other three at 87. I mean, that's again not impossible, but are all three teams gonna lose? I don't know. I think it seems a little bit hard to believe.
No, I don't think you're remiss in leaving Pittsburgh out of that. I'm just pointing out that of all the teams that are scrapping and clawing for these spots, based on late season play here, they deserve it. I mean, they're the ones that are actually acting like they're in a playoff race here.
Yeah, yeah. He wants it. The big guy wants it, but might be a little bit short.
Yeah.
1 point.
What are your thoughts on Matthews? Is he going to get there? And is it obvious? Like,
oh, he's getting 70 for sure.
He's getting there?
Yeah. And then
two games left.
I don't know. Is he gonna? Yeah, he's getting it. He's getting it for sure. He's getting it. He might not get better again. So they're going to force feed this thing to him. But I didn't, you know, everyone keeps talking about how hard this Hart Trophy vote is. I'm like, why is it so hard? Like, is it really Matthews? Like, it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that he's really in the conversation, which is crazy, but
70, 70 goals gets you in the conversation. I think there are a lot of pretty decent options would be the point that one would make. So McDavid, if you know, he gets to this 100 assist thing and the Oilers had the Oilers won the Pacific, McDavid helps claw the team back from the brink of, you know, just being dead in the water earlier and 100 assists. And now all of a sudden he enters the chat in a different way. You've got McKinnon, just ridiculous production. Kucherov, such a huge gap between him and the next guy on his team. And then Matthews pushing it. There are really good, interesting options, I would say. Is it obvious to you? Is it very clear to you? Boom.
Man, I think it's got to be MacKinnon or Kucherov, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. And then your third, the third guy is a wild card.
Yeah. McDavid, Matthews. You know.
Yeah, those would probably be my next two. Is there any goalie gun you love? Like,
well, Hellebuck would be the guy, wouldn't he?
What does he mean to his team? You know, yeah. I think that's a pretty. So, are those your top five? I'm guessing we're probably missing an obvious one, but somewhere in there.
All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Steve, were we doing a hat giveaway tonight?
We absolutely can. If you guys have a question,
can you come up with one in a short period of time while I do an ad read here? Just think of something quick. Want to give away some more hats, right? We still got your back hat stock. We've got a few. And remember, keep in mind, this is ideally it's local, right? Because you pick it up at DeBoer's and you get a $25 store credit when you go pick it up at DeBoer's. So Struds is going to give you a trivia question. And then what you do is go to gybpod.com. Just click on GYB swag up in the corner. Send us your answer. We'll take all the correct answers and we'll do a draw. And we'll let you know if you win and you can go down to DeBoer's to pick up your hat. By the way, I've been spending a lot of time at DeBoer's lately. Golf season is, it's here, baby. Some courses are open. Range just opened up at Bellevue. So really excited and can't stress enough what an awesome place it is to go. Such a positive atmosphere. Scotty and Al and TJ and the group, they're so on top of it. And they're stocked right up right now. So I've managed to grab myself a few new sticks. Looking forward to digging into this year. And just a great golfing atmosphere, great local company. So highly recommend DeBoer's over on 99th. Struts, got to give you enough time. Did I delay enough? You got a question?
I got it. What player has the most, or who scored the most goals in a single season for the Vancouver Canucks?
Okay. Most goals in a single season for the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. GYBpod.com is the website. Click on GYB swag in the corner and send us your answer. And you will have a chance to win a Got Your Back hat that you can go pick up at DeBoer's. All right. Time for the final segment of the podcast before we get to our play of the day. And that is Ask Us Anything. Lots of people waiting patiently on the stream, asking some good questions. Match Eatery and Public House. Got to try the hot chicken sandwich. Went there the other day. Oh, Struds, I'm going back for the hot chicken sandwich. Yeah, so good, buddy. And if you need a spot to hang out before the big game or the concert, Match Pub is as close to the action as you can get, located within the Grand Villa Casino. A lively sports bar makes the perfect place to gather, enjoy perfected pub bites, a selection of ice-cold beer, and classic cocktails. Check out matchpub.com. Steve? What are the people discussing and talking about on the stream tonight?
Oh, a whole lot. There's a, it's good, lively discussion tonight. Lots of people getting back to each other on stuff and lots of good line combination ideas as per usual. Some funny stuff out there. Davin says, we need to give McDavid a redefined health gift certificate. Maybe that'll help him out.
Yeah. I mean, TD Force might have something to say about that. I think they do a pretty good job.
But hey.
But I would more suggest that if Connor had a knee issue, I have firsthand experience with Tyler Fix and knee problems. And let's just say the swing is like butter, guys. The knee fixed right up, thanks to Doc Fix.
Boba Fett says Mark Stone's spleen, potential Conn Smythe contender? ? All right, I'll move on.
It's happening, fans. It's happening.
I'm not over it, so... If that makes any difference. Penner's Pancake says, not concerned one bit. Bring on the Kings. Canucks will have their hands full with the Preds. Neil Garrity says, I'd take LA over travel to Nashville. Travel from Vancouver to Nashville, obviously even worse. How is the travel schedule for the playoffs, Struds? How taxing is it compared to the regular season?
Well, it depends where you're playing, right? Like, I know when I was in New York, we played against the Devils. It was unbelievable. You just, you're home in your own bed, you know, like it was crazy. It was just so easy. And then you got LA and Edmonton, which is 3 hours and an hour time change. It does. I do believe there's an advantage to playing the East. I really do. Not that the games are easier, but the travel is way easier.
Okay, let me ask you this. So the suggestion was made there with that comment, Struds, that the travel to Nashville versus the travel to LA. You're getting up. You're getting on a plane. If you're sitting on that plane for an hour and 50 minutes or 3 hours and 10 minutes, is it that much of a difference, really? Like, if it's just a little bit longer a plane ride?
I believe the more significant issue is the time change. I believe there's 2 hours of time change there.
Good point by you.
I have this written down as a Struds on, so I might save it for later. But when you fly, so
that was your old show.
Struds World. So you let's say you get on the plane at, I'm just going to assume that the flight is 3 hours to Nashville. I think it's longer than that, but I'm pretend it's three. So you get on, let's say you get on the plane at 12. So that's actually 2 o'clock in Nashville. Now you're flying 3 hours. You get there at five, you eat dinner, and then you're back in the room by nine. You want to go to sleep. It's 9:30 or 10 in Nashville. It's only 8 o'clock back in Vancouver. So you're trying to force your body to fall asleep. So I went through this many times that I played there. So it would be closer to 11 or 12 before you're able to fall asleep local time. That's still only 9 or 10 back in Vancouver. Right. So now you fall asleep and now you got to get up. You get up at earlier than this, but I'll say 8 o'clock or 8:30, but that's really 6:30 your time. So you're kind of jacked up. So people are like, oh, they travel on these great planes. Yeah, you do. But you can't change the laws of time. You know, like these are the way it is. The time change makes a difference. And that to me is the longest one. So I found 1 hour. 1 hour is not a big deal. 2 hours is getting hard. 3 hours. We used to go from Vancouver to Detroit. 3 hour time change. So we'd get there and I'd have dinner. And you get into a room, it was 10 o'clock. It was 7 o'clock back in Vancouver. I'm just hitting the high notes at that time in Vancouver, and you're trying to fall asleep in Detroit at 10. Really, really hard to do. So again, you wouldn't fall asleep till 11 or 12 there at the earliest. And then
the flight is more than 3 hours. Hey, Steve, like I think it's probably a 4+ hour flight.
Nashville, Vancouver.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Yeah. So I think it's a double whammy. So there is, I think, a little bit something there that you want to try to wrap that up as quick as you can. Obviously, I guess either team.
By the way, if you're enjoying our show tonight, pound on that love button. Helps our algorithm. So pound that love button.
I wish. I'm glad you said that. I don't have that sound anymore on my board. Okay, Penner's Pancake says, Oilers are still the second best home team in the league. That home ice advantage for playoffs is huge. Thoughts on the importance of home ice advantage, Shogger?
Yeah, I mean, you fight for it all year long. And I think it is more relevant when you have shown a trend, Struds, that you actually are more effective. And the Oilers have this year. They flat out have. So I think in a year like this, it is pretty meaningful because you're going to play the big, big, big games most likely at home. So yeah, I think it does matter in a year when they've shown this tendency.
Yeah, and I think the less travel, that does make a difference. Like it is nice. It's really quite nice. So I don't know that home ice advantage means as much as it used to. And I'm sure there's someone out there who's crunched the stats who tells me I'm wrong in the playoffs, but I just don't feel it's quite the same as it used to be. But I would rather have home ice advantage for sure all the time in any playoff series, but they'll only have it, well, assuming everything goes as planned in round one.
The other nice thing too is you get that little 2 or 3 day lull before the playoffs start and you're at home. Like you don't have to cut that short by a day and hop on a plane and get traveling.
I like that. Yeah, it's a good point.
Boba Fett says Nuge's NHL edge stats. Okay, so what Boba Fett is saying is his shot average speed this season is 28.95 miles per hour. Last season it was 41.75. And the year before, it was a 42.24. So he's saying his average shot speed has gone down significantly this season. Have we noticed anything there? Do you think that could be a reason for less goals for Nuge? Struds, anything?
Yeah, I if you're shooting it less hard, I do think it's easier to stop. So yeah, that does make sense. But I'll stand on this and maybe someone can sort it out in the fact world. I don't think he's getting on the inside and shooting as much as he did last year. I really don't feel that that's happening over and over. Because what has he got? He's got 18 goals, guys. I looked it up the other day. Is it 18?
I'll take a quick look here while you're chatting. The other thing I will say in general, and this is not just Nugent Hopkins, I believe the Oilers are a team that gets the puck to the middle of the ice, and most of them, their first instinct is to look for a pass. I do. I think that it's a team trait that I think in the playoffs needs to be adjusted. That when you are in the go zone, yes, it is 18 goals, by the way. When you're in the go zone, their instinct needs to be to fire that puck. And too many guys are looking to dish off from that high danger area in the middle of the ice, in my opinion, Stretty.
Don't tell Brownie that.
I know. Don't,
I honestly, guys, so, you know, I did my the Stretty's World the other day about Henrique going to the front of the net. That is, those are goals you can replicate in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The ones where you're passing cross ice all the time, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard.
What did you think of Corey Perry's full wind up and clapper right at the end that led to the empty netter back in his own end?
I didn't like that one.
A little snapshot might have been better.
I didn't like that one. But I mean, yeah. So it wasn't ideal.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. Two more, Steve, then let's wrap this thing up.
Okay, so some comments on the stream about Gagné and how much we're missing him. And again, how much is he going to bring to the lineup when he's in, if he's in? Bob's Your Uncle says, sometimes you need a Carrick, sometimes you need a Gagné, sometimes you need a Ryan. Oilers have nice options. So yeah, just thoughts on Gagné in general, what you think he's going to bring to the lineup, Struds, when if and when he gets to play in the playoffs.
Well, he brings an intensity that I absolutely love. And like he's an amazing guy. I love all that. He brings an element of way more offense creativity on that fourth line when he's on that line. I don't see him playing up from that line unless there's some, you know, they're looking for something drastically different. So if you want to add a little more juice, a little more offensive ability to that line, then he's your guy. Because he's got the most offensive, I think, ability on that fourth line, Sugar.
Yeah, excuse me. Getting late in the night here, yawning. Pace. The additions the Oilers made at the trade deadline up front slowed their pace. And I just worry about, with Gagné in the lineup, you know, the pace of play at playoff time. So, listen, I'm a big Sam Gagné guy, and maybe he'll get a look here before the end of the year. But when things get as fast as they've been all year, I'm not sure he's the guy you look to based on what some of your other options are likely going to end up being in your – on your fourth line. So, but he also has this funny little way, Struds, of figuring out how to come up with a moment. He just knows how to figure out a moment. He does.
But he looks for them. Like, that's who he is. He's not afraid of those moments.
Yep.
I've said it before. I think all these guys are going to play some role in the playoffs. It may not be massive roles, but I think they'll have a chance to play a role.
Yeah.
Okay. Struds five head, an offensive handle, but, yes. Meaningless game. These games are meaningless as long as you're not a depth guy. The depth guys really want these games to get battle ready. So yeah, just, you know, these games for the depth players, for the, you know, third and fourth liners, I guess. You know, the importance of these ones for those guys, Struds.
You know, I disagree. I'd actually challenge that. I think that everyone's trying to get ready. You don't just flip it on. I just don't think you can just say, hey, we're game 83. Let's just do it. So, you know, with Connor out, the you know, the bottom six guys get more ice time. But I think, you know, look at Evander Kane. You know, he's pushing himself to get going. I think, you know, Hyman doesn't. I don't think he really changes too much. I thought Leon has had some good jump and trying to take a more of a you know, he does often, but leadership role. So, yeah, I just think that's a dangerous game to play. Just saying, I'll just drop her in a neutral here until we hit the ground running on whatever is next Sunday or Monday.
Neil Garrity says, you think Jamie Benn will try and target Stone's spleen? I don't know where the spleen is or how you could possibly lacerate one, but I bet Ben is researching it right now.
That whole situation is...
I know.
Oh, well. It's got to be dealt with.
It's triggering for Oilers fans. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. As we get ready to wrap things up, we go to our Play of the Day, brought to you by Play Alberta, the official gaming partner of the Oilers, Flames, Elks, and Stampeders. Bet on the games that matter and the players you love with odds boosts and player props. Play in Alberta, stays in Alberta. Deposit today and get a $50 free bet with the code GYB50. So that's code GYB50. And you'll get a little extra cash to play with there with a $50 bet. Visit playalberta.com Strudsgroup.ca. Struds, what are you going to point to, my friend?
Game-winning goal. I went Casey DeSmith for relentlessness, and I'm going that pass by Tyler Myers to Sam Lafferty. I thought that was really good play. You know, give him credit. It was you're not expecting that when you're a D-man, and give him credit. I thought that was a great play. So congrats. He'll be excited. Tyler Myers will be excited.
Oilers fans don't love that, but it was. It was a big difference maker in the game. Was a good play. Vancouver Canucks. They had the Oilers number this year. If they meet in the playoff, Struds, what does 4-0 mean? Anything? Distant history, distant past, doesn't matter?
I think you're going to go in there thinking we can win this. Like, the Oilers feel confident about themselves. I would have preferred that they would have got the win tonight. I think that would have been mentally important for everybody.
Yeah. Oilers against the San Jose Sharks on Monday night. I asked Chris Knobloch what the likelihood was that Connor McDavid would be available. Similar answers. Talk to the doctors. We'll see, we'll see, we'll see. So you imagine McDavid is going to want to get into some action before the end of the season, but we'll pay close attention to that on Monday, and we'll get set to drop some more podcasts coming up next week. That was our play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. Struds, thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, Steve-O, good job at the controls, my friend, sitting in for Zuby tonight. And I think we probably got you maybe on Monday night as well.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for all of thanks to everybody who hopped in on the live stream here on YouTube and on Twitter as well. And if you're listening in podcast form, thank you for making us part of your drive, part of your day. And if you get a chance, leave us a review over on iTunes. We'd love to hear what you think of our show. Big thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Oilers drop one to the Canucks. Season series was 4-0 Vancouver. The division, likely not to happen for the Oilers. They're taking on the Sharks on Monday. We'll talk then.